is taken from Matthew chapter 13, verse 33. Our series on the kingdom of God is like continues today with the parable of leaven or yeast. There is one verse. We are going to read it from three different translations of the Bible. Please listen for the difference. Matthew 13:33. We read first from the English Standard Version. He told them another parable. The kingdom of heaven is like leaven that a woman took and hid in three measures of flour till it was all leavened. Now we read from the Contemporary English Version. Jesus also said, the kingdom of heaven is like what happens when a woman mixes a little yeast into three big batches of flour. Finally, all the dough rises. Finally, we read from the New English, the New International Version. He told them still another parable. The kingdom of heaven is like yeast that a woman took and mixed into about 60 pounds of flour until it worked all through the dough. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Amen. Please be seated. Today we compare the kingdom of God to yeast. I have to make a confession to you, though. I confess that I have read this text countless times in my 28 years of ministry. And this past week, as I was reading it one more time from some different versions, it hit me like a 2x4 across the head. I found something entirely new that I never noticed before. It's one of those great testimonies as to why we need to continue reading God's word on a daily basis. We have new things revealed to us all the time. And it's also a reminder why we need to continue reading our whole life long and never give up that task, that process of going deeper in God's word. And part of my reason for sharing this one verse in three translations is to look at some of those subtle nuances that open greater understanding to God's word. It's easy, especially in a chapter like Matthew 13, where you've got several parables about the kingdom of God, to really just skim over the surface of those as you read them very quickly through. And so when you take time to dig a little deeper and you go back, you discover some things. Well, what I missed was the volume of flour that the yeast leavened. I do break bread from time to time or make biscuits or cornbread. And so I assumed that three measures meant three cups of flour with a little yeast, a little starter dough, if you will. That's the recipe that isn't a lot of the breads that I make or bake. But when I read the different text, and I went back to the Greek to do a little word study on that, I discovered that a measure back in the Greco-Roman world was 12 quarts of flour. Not three cups. 12 quarts. Do the math. Three measures times 12 quarts, that's 36 quarts of flour. If you consider each quart roughly to be four cups of flour, that's enough flour to feed an army. This is not a kitchen recipe, right? It's what the German bakery over here would bake for a whole passel of people every morning as they come into the bakery. Then we remember that Jesus is using the parable to talk about the kingdom of God. Not a small thing. Actually, really a very expansive thing. And it adds up to some amazing stuff that happens in this text, which we'll dig into in a moment. But first, let's turn to a word of prayer. God, your wisdom is indeed amazing. You have put so much into your word that we yet don't understand. Inspire us to keep reading, to keep asking questions. May our desire be to know you more intimately, to grow deeper in our faith relationship with you. Help us to be more like the yeast that spreads the good news of the gospel, that brings hope to our world. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We've got 3 points in your bulletin or on the screen. Follow along, take notes as you desire. But let's dig in there. The first point we're going to talk about today is the nature of yeast. Oftentimes, the Bible has a negative undertone when talking about yeast. And part of that goes all the way back to the Passover. You remember when God rescued the people of Israel from slavery at the hand of the Egyptians? And after that last plague of God that he put upon Egypt, they were told to eat in haste and prepare for the journey ahead. And so part of that preparation was to forgo yeast. Because what happens? It takes yeast time to allow the bread to rise, and it has to be beat down again and rise again. So it takes time to make, you know, leavened bread, good bread, yeast bread. They didn't have that time for luxury. They had to pack up and their bare necessities and get out of there before Pharaoh changed his mind, which he would eventually later on. You know, unleavened bread, it's nutritious, yes, for the body, but it's a bit hard. It's a bit dry. Sometimes it's almost as bad as eating flour, dry flour, by itself. Ooh. But it would keep longer for the journey. So yeast took on this negative tone because it was seen as a temptation to enjoy the finer luxuries of life, putting them ahead of God's plan and purpose for our lives. In the New Testament as well, there are a couple of passages that also talk about yeast in this negative kind of light. Matthew 16:6 says, Jesus said to them, "Watch, take heed and beware the leaven of the Pharisees and the Sadducees." In other words, Jesus is warning them to be careful of those people that have their own agendas and are not following God. And in 1 Corinthians 5:6-8, St. Paul shares another word about yeast. Verse 8 in particular says this: "Let us therefore celebrate the festival, not with the old leaven, the leaven of malice and evil, but with the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth." You see, it was thought that leaven, or yeast, was like sin creeping into a believing community and slowly corrupting it. So there's the negative tone that yeast has throughout Scripture. But it also has a positive meaning, particularly as it's used by Jesus in our parable today in Matthew 13, to teach about the kingdom of God. In fact, Jesus may have used yeast purposefully for a bit of a shock value, an attention getter, knowing that most people would have thought negatively about yeast. We know again that bread made with yeast is what? It's soft, it's pliable, it's just downright yummy. Especially when you put, oh my goodness, fresh bread, butter, the old Germans put the old Cookies on it. Oh my goodness, who can resist that, right? Good stuff. In part of a poem that Archbishop Oscar Romero wrote entitled "Prophets of a Future Not Our Own," he says this: "This is what we are about. We plant seeds that one day will grow. We water seeds already planted, knowing they hold future promise. We lay foundations that will need further development. We provide yeast that produces effects far beyond our capabilities. It's an opportunity," he says, "for God's grace to enter and to do the rest." So the positive aspect of yeast is that it is a transforming agent, which leads us to our second point today, to talk about that transformational power. And there are 2 aspects of yeast that give it that power to transform people's lives. In the text, Jesus tells us that it took some time for that starter dough, that yeast, to work through all of the flour. Remember again the volume of flour we're talking about. Not 3 cups, but 3 measures. A lot of flour. And so that would not have happened overnight. And so the first aspect of yeast is that it works quietly behind the scenes slowly but surely influencing the world. Thinking of Pastor Clint right now. Yeah, there he is. And as Pastor Bobby mentioned earlier, he tore his Achilles tendon. And guess where he did it? Council retreat. Yeah, last weekend. Playing some games with our church council. We seem to have a track record of sorts with our council injuring people. You don't want to be on council. It's kind of rough. So just remember that in the future. He had surgery on Wednesday, and he's supposed to be off that foot. And so for at least 2 weeks, no pressure, no weight. So if you see him around, tie him down, put him back in bed, tell him to just cool it for a while. Recovery will be slow and sure and painful. So please pray for him. Pray for him. As you recall, I had a similar injury about 3 years ago. Again, doing something significant for the kingdom of God. The limbo at the father-daughter dance. Which, by the way, is going to be this coming Saturday as well. I'm not going to be there, I don't think. If you remember, I tore the tendons in my knee, the ACL and MCL, both of those. Got up, I remember, from the floor. And I could put no weight. My leg was like limp. It just wouldn't hold any pressure. And then the pain came when the swelling came. The doctor decided that therapy was the best recourse for this particular injury instead of surgery. So I didn't have to go under the knife, but I can sympathize with Pastor Clint. I feel his pain because that therapy was indeed painful, slow, agonizing. But also deliberate. Deliberate, slow, steady. What I remembered most from that occasion was that each time I went to therapy, as painful as it was, I began to notice a slight improvement after each time at therapy. That's what gave me hope to keep coming back again and again. Yeast can be very much like that, working slowly but steadily. And it may not be visible, but you know it's there. In our lives of faith, God's Word is working continually inside of our hearts and minds to transform us. And sometimes that transformation is painful because it causes us to change. It causes us to put our sinful behavior behind us and take on this new life that God offers to us. Paul speaks of this in Romans 12, 2, when he says, "Do not be conformed to the world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good, what is acceptable, and what is perfect." Another aspect of yeast is that it can also exhibit explosive growth. When you bake a loaf of bread with yeast, you let the dough kind of sit by a little heat source there, taking up all those nutrients, and it just explodes. The dough rises, and you got to punch it down again, reform it, reshape it, let it rise a little bit more, and then put it at just the right time in the oven so it bakes into this beautiful, yummy loaf of bread. I'm reminded of this aspect of the yeast in the early church. The Pentecost event, the day that the Christian church was born, the Word of God came through those disciples, proclaimed in a number of foreign languages so that people could hear it in their own native tongues. They could hear the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ. At the end of that day, we are told, Acts 2:41, that those who received His Word were baptized. And there was added that day about 3,000 souls. Do you hear that? Explosive growth. The first day the church was born, 11 guys got up and spoke about the Word of God, and 3,000 people believed that day. Hallelujah, praise the Lord. But you know what? That kind of growth still happens today. When I visited Ethiopia in 2012, I preached in a church in the capital city, Addis Ababa. Later in the week, I had lunch with that pastor of that church who told me his story. He came out of seminary during the communist regime in Ethiopia. He had no church. He had no means of support. He was on his own by himself. God led him to a piece of land that at that time literally had just a pole on it. Everything else was barren. And it was there that he went to pray daily, asking for God to help build his church on that piece of property. At first, he was by himself. And then people began to take notice. A little boy, 12 years old, would then join him each day. And people took notice of that. And a few poor people joined in. And there they prayed daily at that pole for God to plant a church there. When a few others had joined in, about 10 or 11 or 12, the authorities came and arrested him, put him in prison for a time for assembling a group of people to worship. It was forbidden by that government. Later he was released, told not to do it, but he kept doing it. More people took notice, but they were cautious and careful, worshiping behind the scenes so as not to face more repercussions from that communist government. But the seed continued to be planted in people's lives. The yeast continued to work slowly at first, almost unnoticed, quietly. But when that communist regime was overthrown, the church just exploded in growth. The yeast rose up from the depths of people's hearts. Today, that church worships over 7,000 at 4 services every Sunday. And they have in turn planted 7 other churches throughout that region. Amazing again how that transformational power of yeast, of God's word, can and does work in our world today. Finally, we focus on learning God's patience and persistence. One of the problems that we have in our society and culture today is that we expect immediate results. And if we don't get immediate results, we get bored and we move on to something else. We're not willing to be patient, to be persistent, and to wait for things. And yet God teaches us time and again in Scripture to be patient and persistent. In Genesis chapters 37 through 50, a long story there, but the story of Joseph, sold into slavery by his brothers who wanted him dead, some of them. He wound up in Egypt, in prison, accused of false things. And eventually he worked his way up through the ranks. With God's help and guidance, Joseph became second in command to Pharaoh himself. And it happened to be at a time of great tribulation. A great drought had arisen. And God used Joseph to save himself, his family, and the whole world of that day. In his parting words to his brothers at the end of chapter 50 there, verse 20, Joseph says this: "As for you, you meant evil against me. You meant harm to me, but God intended it for good." Joseph waited very patiently, 40 years for all of this to take place. And yet those 40 years, the yeast of God was working in him that whole time. Then in Luke 18, there's a parable of the persistent widow. He keeps coming before an unjust and corrupt judge until he grants her justice. And she doesn't give up hope in God because God's yeast is working in her to help her persevere during difficult times. Back to the parable of the yeast. When you think about the large volume of flour that's in that parable, it's like our world. There's billions of people on this earth today, and many who have yet to hear the word of God, the good news of the gospel. It will take time for the yeast, the word of God, to work through all of that, to be a positive aspect of change in people's lives. But through patience and persistence, it will continue to grow. I want to close by sharing this story. There was a pastor who had a woman in his church. Now, she wasn't particularly active, showed up about once every couple of months. But he also discovered that she had some issues she was dealing with in her life. She had a rocky relationship with her boyfriend. She had family members who were critically ill. She had issues at her workplace. So several things going on. Well, the pastor invited her to come and to visit with him so he could listen to her problems and offer prayer with her. At first, she refused, was reluctant to come and visit him. But he kept inviting her to come to share her struggles so they could go deeper in conversation and prayer. He persisted. Eventually, she relented and set up a time and came to see him. There was nervousness in her voice the first day as she began to share her struggles and problems and cares. And he listened patiently, offered her some advice, and then prayed for her. Over the next several months, she made more appointments. Her nervousness melted away into anticipation. He encouraged her to be praying daily, to get involved in a regular Bible study with some others. She eventually took his advice. She got involved with a regular Bible study, was reading and studying God's Word now daily. Her visits were now filled with questions about Scripture, and he could see the excitement and the joy in her face. Things in her life began to improve. She began inviting others to church and would help steer them in their journey with God. She was quite the evangelist, still growing in her own faith, but now also mentoring others in their faith. The pastor was very proud of her and praised God for her renewed faith. The story is a great reminder of how that persistence and perseverance and patience can pay off. If we are willing to just keep adding that yeast to people's lives. And it may grow slowly at first. We might even notice it. But at some point, it's going to blossom and some amazing things will begin to happen. As one translation puts it, Galatians 5:9, it says, "A little yeast can change a whole batch of dough." We're reminded that with God, nothing, nothing whatsoever is impossible. Amen.